The Life That Cuts the Cold, written by Gloss, read by Rena Jenkins. Fandom, Star Wars Original Trilogy. This story contains the pairing Leia Organa, Shara Bay, with additional tags for alternate universe canon divergence, bounty hunters, references to canon male-female relationships, implied or referenced character death. When the bounty propagates over the Holonet, 200,000 credits for the Alderaanian royal trader, preferably, though not required, alive, they are deep in the Outer Rim, on a poorly terraformed moon called Din. "Honestly, I'm surprised they took this long," Leia says, shaking her head, laughing as she kills the holofeed. The feed projector is as unpredictable as everything else aboard the ship, however, so an after-image hovers a little too long, pale and distorted, before crumpling away. Leia's face, much rounder, so much younger, hair done up in ridiculous braids. Shara can't share Leia's amusement. She replaces the motivator panel, makes sure it's snug and aligned, before she says carefully, "It's only going to make things worse." Leia perches on the armrest of the pilot seat, arm going around Shara's waist and cheek pressing into Shara's shoulder. "It's already worse," she says, quietly and firmly. "Has been for a long time." Shara presses her mouth against the crown of Leia's skull just for a moment, before leaning forward again to fiddle with the power transfers. They just captured a rogue tax collector who made off with the harvest tariffs of half the system. Once they deliver him to the municipal authorities, the bounty on him should cover the most immediately pressing repairs. Their ship needs motivator bolts and oxygen hosing. It also needs a complete overhaul. Or junking. The problem, of course, is how to deliver him when the ship can barely keep itself aloft. "You can fix it," Leia says. "You always do." Shara shakes her head. "Reached the limits of my competence a few jobs ago. Now I'm just patching what I can." "What about this?" Leia pulls one leg up to her chest and circles it with her arms and plants her chin on her knee. "We contact the municipality. Get them to come pick up Klar, and hey, maybe they can bring along some parts? What parts do you need?" "A new light freighter would be nice, fresh off the yard," Shara says. "Even a modded-out starfighter." "Seriously, though," Leia shakes her head fondly. They cut her hair in the last big port, cropping it close all around her face and lightening it. So now, more than ever, she looks like a pair of big brown eyes rising out of dawn light. "It also has the unfortunate side effect of making her resemble her brother much more than she once did. But only Shara and Leia know that. To everyone else, she's simply a small human female named Brea." Shara misses all of Leia's hair. How it hung like soft boreal curtains over her face when they kissed, Leia on top, hips moving slow and musical against Shara's lap. She misses the weight of it in her hands, how there was so much that Leia's head could be bowed back, her throat exposed, soft skin for tongue and teeth. But the new hair, Skywalker chic, Leia calls it, though Shara can't bring herself to make the joke, has its own charms. From behind, Leia looks like a youngling, indeterminate but graceful gender. It's so light and soft to the touch that Shara can rake her fingers through it for hours on end, Leia between her thighs, mouth working, bones rising, running through Shara. Shara gives her the list, ranked by priority. She learned fairly quickly to go with Leia's instincts when it came to strategy. They aren't always unerring, but they're right far more often than not. Shara's word goes for everything ship-related, from repairs to flight. But Leia handles people, the contracts and payments. She chooses the jobs they take. Shara makes sure they get there, then acts as muscle. Leia's muscle, too, but finer stuff, more surprisingly strong. "But I can't fly," she told Shara that first hectic morning during the evacuation from Endor. There was no rendezvous point, nowhere to go except away, away from the slaughter on the surface and the growing darkness above. And still, they, those who had managed to survive, skittered around like crazed insects, lost and yearning, driven by fear into endless loops. Shara had been looking all night for Cass. She knew, simple as her hands had known how to hold the controls, that he was dead, just like the rest of the Pathfinders, Solo and the rest. But she kept looking, convinced that if she stopped, then that would be what killed him. She found, instead, the Princess General standing in the smoldering forest, holding a starfighter helmet out to her. "Sharabe, I need your help. I can do a lot of things, but I can't fly." That particular talent of Leia's family did not manifest in her. And Shara is glad of it. Deeply glad. She can still do something now, nearly 3 years later. She can fly. She can serve, though Leia hates that word. When Leia returns from the Holocafé, she has 50% of the municipal bounty already deposited into their account, an inventory list of the refurbished parts to be delivered tomorrow, and 2 cartons of hot, fresh food. They haven't eaten anything besides freeze-dried rations and reconstituted slurries for nearly a month. The rich scent of the vegetables and grains in the carton makes Shara's stomach clench and her eyes water. "Take it slow," Leia says, smiling through the steam rising from her own carton. In the cargo hold, their bounty is awake and yelling again. Shara pulls the door half-closed, which helps a little. "When have I ever done that?" she asks. Leia shrugs one shoulder and slides down the poorly upholstered banquette to drop snug and warm against Shara's side. "It's important to be ready for anything, don't you think?" "Indeed," Shara replies. She's getting full, much sooner than she'd like, and the hot food is making her a little sweaty. She doesn't like feeling so discomfited and disheveled, though Leia has, of course, seen her in much worse states. Leia's still peering up at her. Sometimes, like now, at certain angles, she looks so young that it's nearly unbelievable. At the same time, she was never young, never anything but a symbol and a leader and the will. Shara kisses her forehead, then the tip of her nose, as Leia's hands go around her neck, loop there and hold on, fingers tangling in Shara's hair. She murmurs into the kiss, then more loudly when Shara's palms slip down her sides to curve over Leia's breasts. The fabric of her jersey catches on Shara's calluses, drags and hitches, and Leia moans lightly. There are some things, important things, that Shara will never understand. How Leia knew her name that morning. How Leia made a plan to escape and survive while everything around them fell apart. How Leia goes on and on, from planet side to the rebellion's defeat, the loss of Solo, the rise of her brother as the new emperor. Shara has asked, and Leia hasn't been able to answer. But Shara has never, not once, wondered why she's here. She is here because they need each other. They need to fly and run and fight. Neither one of them will ever be able to stop. The end.